Grace is what God has had on his heart for us all from the beginning.
This is great.
We must recognize that this, and not the law, was what he promised Abraham. After preaching the gospel of grace to Abraham, it hurt him to put his people under the cruel bondage of the law for 1,500 years. Nevertheless, this is what it took to set humanity up, to settle once and for all that God is righteous and we are not, and the only bridge between us and him is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the invitation is to the whosoever wills of the world to catch on to this and repent of their sins and receive the gift of eternal life by grace through faith alone.
Praise God. It's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes.
Grace frees us to see ourselves as unencumbered by restrictions.
Amen.
Doing so is all important to breaking free from those awful days of religious bondage before grace came. We must remember that from our point of view today, the Ten Commandments were a ministry of death written and engraved on stones.
Yeah, you'd think people would catch on to that scripture, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
A ministry of death written and engraved in stones. Well, let's not touch that.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Which passed away.
That's good.
Suffice it to say, the law as a legal document no longer has power over God's new creation. Today, he is writing on our hearts by the Spirit instead. Of course, we all know that this doesn't make the law unrighteous. It simply takes away its legal hold over us. The fear it produced in our hearts has been replaced by love. This has become our new source of self-worth and strength and the reason for everything we do for God. We are no longer a people who strive in the flesh to please him. We are at rest, having come to peace with God, ourselves, and our fellow man because of Calvary.
It's a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yeah. Though it may be prudent to have a discussion at this point on what part the Ten Commandments may or may not play in believers' lives today, I'm going to defer to do so and deal with it in chapter 5, along with the dangers of antinomianism, which means against the law. In this chapter, it is more important for us as Christians to understand our freedom through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Settle this. The law covenant dispensation has run its course, and we are now living in the dispensation of grace.
You've got to see the law covenant as having run its course.
Yes.
We're finished and done with that.
Beautiful.
Now we've got to learn how to live with this.
Yes.
The scriptures take this very seriously. In fact, they speak of those who return to legalism as having fallen from grace.
And by the way, there is a section in Christianity that says falling from grace is something else other than going back to the law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case at all. That's nonsense. Only one verse that uses falling from grace and is talking about going back to works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Settles
yeah. Those who do so usually become embittered and, like Esau, lose their birthright. Because of this, grace and not the law is the measuring stick we should use today. So much so that the scriptures counsel us to speak with grace and only season with salt. How outrageous. The freedom that is ours is so far reaching that it is even supposed to change our language.
Isn't that something?
Grace is on our side. It welcomes the undeserving and shuts the door on those who think more highly of themselves than they ought. It is a constant reminder that it is Christ's righteousness and not ours that gets God's attention.
That's something, isn't it? Get over the days when you thought being good for the morning meant God was happier with you than yesterday.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is rubbish.
It is.
Now, let me just say something. He receives us in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean to say as his child, he's excited when we live like idiots, but he isn't. But that's a different thing altogether.
Mm-hmm. As James Bryan Smith expresses it, I see now how foolish it was to think that my feeble attempts at righteousness had anything to do with how God feels about me. For too long, I was impressed with my commitment to Christ.
I hate that term, commitment to Christ.
Yeah.
I just saw someone on TV last night, who's a very famous evangelist, talk about your commitment to Christ. And I wanted to say, first of all, find me that verse in the one word used anywhere in the Bible, I'll give you $1,000. It isn't. Second of all, getting saved isn't talking about a commitment. Mm. You know, as though your commitment got you saved.
Exactly.
Christ's commitment to die on the cross for you, I can talk about that.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking
about. But I came just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood, O Lamb, was shed for me. I come. That's not a commitment.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start that sentence again.
Yeah, thank you. We need that twice, buddy.
Yeah, for too long I was impressed with my commitment to Christ. Now I am only impressed with Christ's commitment to me.
Amen.
My previous focus had been on my decision for Jesus. Now I am concentrating on His decision
Amen.
For me.
Is that a beautiful thing, or what is that anyway up in here? Hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus divorced His old wife, Israel, after the flesh, and is pursuing a new one, Israel, after the Spirit. The Christian life is the resultant story. Believers are would-be brides-in-waiting for their coming groom and wedding day. This lies at the heart of the message of grace. It is His betrothal gift, the price He was willing to pay to get Himself a bride. Grace says, I love you and I want you for myself, and I am never going to let you go.
Isn't that lovely? Praise God.
Amen.